Turn with me as we read together in God's Word in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, reading together at verse 1. Luke 23 and verse 1. The whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ the King." And Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" And he answered him and said, "Thou sayest it." Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, "I find no fault in this man." And they were the more fear, saying, "He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place." When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. The chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. We'll end our reading there at the end of verse 12, and we look to the Lord to add his blessing to it this evening. The last time we had looked at our little series, The People Jesus Met, we were looking at the man who almost made it, but he went away disappointed. We were looking at the rich young ruler. After life was over and he experienced death, he wanted to be sure that in a coming day he possessed eternal life, and this young man almost made it. He had the desire, he had the directions, but he went away disappointed. When it came to counting the cost and following after Christ, he made the wrong decision. Tonight we're going to look at another one of the people Jesus met, and we're going to consider the man whom Jesus didn't answer. And of course we're looking at King Herod. We know that there are many Herods that are referred to in the scriptures, but this particular Herod is a very interesting character. He is Herod Antipas, who had been made tetrarch of Galilee and Perea. He was the same man who had become infatuated with his brother's wife, who had been rebuked by John the Baptist, and yet in a night of fun and frivolity, he had given the head of John the Baptist to the daughter of Herodias. History tells us that he was a very cruel and a very insensitive man. And we need to understand why the Lord Jesus Christ was in the presence of Herod in the very first place. You'll remember that the Lord Jesus Christ has already been arrested, and the Jews have been baying for his blood. They wanted him put to death. But in Jesus' day, the Jews had no power to carry out the death sentence. The sentence of death needed to be implemented by the Roman governor. It had to be carried out by the Roman authorities. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ, after his arrest, was taken and brought before Pontius Pilate in the first place. He's another interesting character, and that's another tragic story, because Pilate washed his hands of the whole affair. He'd been warned by his wife, who had been spoken to in a dream to be careful about what he did with Christ. He knew deep down in his own heart that Jesus Christ was innocent of the charges that had been brought against him. Even in our reading tonight, we hear him declare that this man has done nothing amiss. I find no fault in him. But in order to protect his own position and in order to appease the people, Pilate went to great lengths to get rid of him. When he heard that Jesus was from Galilee, and since Galilee was outside his jurisdiction, it was a way out for Pilate, and so he hands him over to this man, Herod. I want to mention three very simple things as we look at this man tonight. I want you to note the reasons why he wanted to meet Christ. When Pontius Pilate sent the Lord Jesus to Herod, because he belonged to his jurisdiction, Herod was glad. It's quite obvious that here was a man, and he had his own personal reasons for wanting to meet with him, and that's revealed to us here in Luke 23 and verse 8. This is what it says. When Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Herod had no fear in meeting Christ on this occasion because, after all, Jesus was coming to him as a prisoner. But Herod was infatuated by this man, Jesus of Nazareth, and there are reasons as to why he wanted to meet him. He had been arrested by what he had heard. We're told that Herod was interested because he had heard many things of him. That's not strange. After all, the Lord Jesus Christ has been ministering amongst the people, and his popularity has been growing at a great rate. Yes, many of them didn't understand who he was. Many of them weren't sure in their own minds about what he had come to do. But as he preached and as he exercised his authority in healing people and performing miracles, the people began to flock after the Lord Jesus, and he was a very popular figure. Things were being said about him. People were running after him. And obviously his fame had spread about, and multitudes wanted to meet him and to see him. And one of those people was Herod. Because of his position, he would have heard the reports that were being made concerning Christ. Daily they would have been bringing reports concerning this man from Galilee. And he would have known that the people were excited. He would have known that they were emotional about this man. And perhaps maybe he felt that Jesus Christ was a threat to his own popularity. Whatever he had heard, he wanted to meet Jesus Christ personally. But you know something else? He wasn't just arrested by what he heard. You'll note he had anticipated seeing him at work. We're told that Herod hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. That explains an awful lot. Because in a very strange way, Herod was fascinated by what he'd heard. He was curious of the message that Jesus had proclaimed, that had obviously penetrated his courts. He wanted to see the Lord Jesus Christ doing something marvelous and something miraculous. He wanted to see Jesus acting like a magician so that Herod could pass comment, but Herod got it wrong. He didn't recognize Jesus Christ for who he was. He didn't understand what it was that the Lord Jesus Christ had come to do. Jesus never performed miracles for the sake of it. Jesus never gave in to the demands of an audience when they asked for a sign. He wasn't a magician. The miracles that he did were to authenticate who he really was. The miracles that he did were the evidence that he was the Messiah, the chosen one of God. He was the one whom the prophets had spoken about. He was the one who had come to be the Savior of the world. God had not only sent him, but God was with him, and the miracles that he did bore testimony to that fact. But Herod didn't understand that because he didn't really know who Jesus was, and he hadn't yet grasped what Jesus had come to do. It might be some of you sitting here tonight are like him. Despite all that you hear from the pulpit and all that you know concerning him, perhaps it has not yet dawned upon you who the Lord Jesus Christ is and what the Lord Jesus Christ came to do. It may be that for some of you, he's just a good man. A man whose life gives us an example that we do well to follow. There are many people who see Jesus Christ like that tonight. They're obsessed with what he taught. They think that all that he has taught is a good example for us to follow, and surely by that way we'll get to heaven. And whilst it's true to say that he has given us a great example to follow, Jesus Christ was more than just a good man. You might see him as an ethical teacher, one whose words we should try to apply to everyday living. Maybe for you he's just a figure of history, no longer relevant to you and no longer relevant to the world in which we live, because there are many tonight who believe that. But you and I need to grasp tonight who he is. We need to understand why he ever came into this world in the first place. He's the only begotten Son of God. He's the one who came from heaven to earth in order to seek and to save that which was lost. He's the one who came to take the sinner's place at Calvary. He's the one whom God sent into the world to be your Savior and mine. He's the one who came to suffer and bleed and die on an old rugged cross so that your sins and mine might be forgiven. Friends, listen. However you see the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to see him as more than just a figure of history. You need to see him as more than just a good man or an ethical teacher or someone who was radical in his own day and generation. You need to see him as the Savior of the world. You need to see him as the one who went to the cross for your sins. You need to understand that Jesus Christ is the only hope you have in time and for eternity, because there is no other Savior apart from him. And if you miss that, you miss everything. Doesn't matter what you believe concerning him. If you miss the fact that he came to be your Savior and to die on a cross that your sins might be forgiven and that you might be reconciled to God, if you do not understand that and you've never grasped that, you miss the most important thing of all. Herod got it wrong because he didn't understand who Jesus was or what he had come to do. The reasons why he wanted to see Christ. I want you to note the reaction that he made to Christ. Jesus had no intention of satisfying this man's curiosity. He never performed miracles for the sake of it, and because of that, it wasn't long before Herod began to lose interest in his prisoner. You'll note in our reading tonight, though they're just a few simple verses, that there are things that stand out about this man and his treatment of Christ. You note, first of all, that he degraded Christ. Look at the words of verse 11. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. You see, when Herod couldn't get answers to his questions, and when Herod could not see the Lord Jesus Christ at work, when he refused to submit to Herod's authority and behave like a magician, Herod began to lose interest in him. And then they take the Lord Jesus Christ and he begins to mock him and he begins to degrade him. They put him in a gorgeous robe. They play with him. They have a good laugh at his expense. They put an imitation robe on him, pretending that he's a king. The sad thing is, they never took Jesus seriously. And little did they know that they were in the presence of the Son of God. Little did they know that they were mocking the one who had come to redeem them. Little did they realize that they were abusing and humiliating the one that God had sent to be the Savior of the world. Little did they realize as they degraded him that this was the only hope they had. And yet they continued with their horseplay. And they continued to mock him. And they began to laugh at this man who had claimed before Pilate to be a king. That scene reminds me much of what was soon going to happen at Calvary. You'll remember that when the Lord Jesus Christ was taken, and when he was led up Golgotha's hillside and taken and there nailed to a cross and uplifted to the gaze of a perishing world, what were they doing? They were railing on him. They were mocking him. If you be the Christ, come down from the cross, save yourself and us. The soldiers who had led him there to Calvary, what are they doing? They're down at the foot of the cross and they're gambling for his garments as Christ hangs on the cross and dies for their sin. Because they didn't take the Lord seriously. He degraded Christ. And he disposed of Christ. For having had his fun, it simply says this, that Herod sent him again to Pilate. Do you know what happened, Herod? When he didn't get his own way and Christ wouldn't act the way he wanted him to, he got tired of the whole affair and he just passed him back again to Pilate. Why should he bother with this man? Why on earth should he be concerned about an impostor from Nazareth? After all, he had received all this bother from Pilate. It's time to return the prisoner. And he gave him back and Pilate could do with him what he wanted. He throws the back into Pilate's court and Pilate was to do as he pleased. Do you know when you look at this man, and you see the reasons why he wanted to see Christ in the first place. And now you see how he reacted to Christ. At the end of the day, Herod just wanted nothing to do with him. Absolutely nothing to do with him. Is that where you are tonight in the meeting? It's not that you don't know who Jesus is, because you do. It's not that you don't know about his work upon the cross for your sins, because you do. You've heard it often. You've known it from you grew up through this church. It's not that you're not aware of Calvary and all that it means. You are. It's not that you don't know the gospel, because you do, and you could preach it tonight better than I can. It's not that you don't know all of these things. When it comes down to the nitty-gritty and you have to think about Christ, you want nothing to do with him. There are other things more important in your life. There are other priorities, and Christ doesn't feature in that list of your priorities. There are things in life that you want to get on with, and you're going to do it anyway, come what may and come what must. If I lose my soul, so be it. If I die in my sin, so be it. If I bypass the cross, what does it matter? It matters everything. It matters everything. Bypass the cross and you live in your sin and you die in your sin. You'll go out into a Christless eternity. So it matters a great deal. And be careful that you don't make the same mistake as Herod did. And want nothing to do with this man. Because without Christ, you're without hope. Without Christ as your Savior, you'll perish in your sin. And if you perish in your sin, that means that you'll spend the whole of eternity in a Christless hell. So you need to think seriously about what you'll do with this man, Christ. The hymn writer says, out of Christ, without a Savior, no hope nor refuge nigh, how can you, my friend and brother, dare to live? Or dare to die. As far as Christ is concerned, you cannot afford to dispose of him. As far as your invitation in the gospel is concerned, you cannot throw it back in God's face. You dare not live without Christ and you dare not die without Him, because you'll live to regret it. And that for the whole of eternity. And you see the things that are priority in your life just now, they'll not matter that in eternity. And you'll wonder why you wasted your life running after them, when all the time you neglected your soul and you died in your sin. And you died without a Savior. The reasons why he wanted to see Christ, the reaction that he made to Christ, the response he got from Christ. You know, before all the fun and all the horseplay and the adorning of the Savior in the robe, Herod had sought to ask the Lord Jesus many questions. Many had done so before throughout his ministry. We were looking at a young man who came and asked perhaps one of the most important questions that any one of us can ever ask. Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? There were those who came to Jesus on many occasions asking questions about eternal life, about divorce, about the afterlife. And each time they came and the Lord Jesus Christ spoke with them, he gave them important answers to their questions. He dealt with the issues. They were real issues. They were relevant issues. And Jesus Christ dealt with them and he spoke about them. But this time it's different. Because we read in verse 9 these words. Then Herod questioned him in many words. But he, that is Jesus, answered him nothing. Nothing. When Herod asked the questions, there's no response. This man was the tetrarch. This man was a man in authority. When he asked questions, he demanded answers. And if you didn't give the answers, he dealt with you. And when he comes to Christ and he asks him all the questions, Jesus answered him nothing. Every question was met with unbroken silence. Jesus was unmoved. Jesus had greater authority than Herod had. Jesus hadn't come to be told what to do by a man such as Herod. And when Herod comes and he asks his questions, Jesus answered him nothing. Just unbroken silence. How solemn. How searching. And how sad. As far as I know, this is the only occasion recorded for us where Jesus refused to speak to an individual. And you can imagine how Herod must have felt when his questions were met with unbroken silence. Jesus answered him nothing. I couldn't begin to imagine how some of you would feel if the day came when you recognized your need and it was too late. And you'd wasted one opportunity after another. And you trifled with your soul and you continued to live in your sin. And you rejected one invitation after another. And when you think it suited you for you to ask Jesus the question and him to answer you nothing. Your question to be met with unbroken silence. You say to me, but surely the day would never come Surely the day would never come when I would come and ask the Lord Jesus Christ about this matter of salvation, that I would seek him and he wouldn't have anything to say to me. You mean to say that I can go and I'll seek him and I can't find him? Well, Jesus told those that he ministered to in his day, he said, look, the day is coming when you shall seek me and you shall not find me. And where I am, there you cannot come. A day when it'll be too late to find the Savior. And that's why the Bible exhorts us that we should deal with this eternal issue with the utmost urgency. And that we should call upon him while he's near. And seek him while he's yet to be found. Wouldn't it be terrible? Absolutely terrible. If you sat in meetings just like this. Wasted your opportunities. Shut fast the door of God's mercy. Cut yourself off from his love forever. Come to the end of your life, and there's nothing but unbroken silence. Jesus, answer you nothing. O sinner, God's patience may weary someday, and leave thy sad soul in the blast. By willful resistance you have drifted away over the deadline at last. You see, it's not enough tonight for you to know about Christ. You need to trust him personally. And you need to trust him right now. As you sit in this meeting and feel your great need of God's salvation. Because if you don't, the day may come and you may call and your opportunity has passed and Jesus answer you nothing. Oh, turn while the Savior and mercy is waiting. And steer for the harbor light. For how do you know but your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight? Herod is the man that Jesus didn't answer. I urge you to call upon him and do it now with the assurance that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That may be tonight, tomorrow, well, that might just be too late.